It's Greg Pope, John Burton Show. Pat and Cook running things here, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel and Goggin Cold Hall. Well, usually Teresa Walker comes on with us every Monday. We got her late her time there Monday night. It is now 11:25 in the night today. Well, I don't know. Teresa Walker with
us
from right outside Tokyo, covering the Olympics, certainly the men's and women's basketball part of it, especially. Hello, I was going to say good morning, but good night. Good night, Teresa.
Good evening, T.
It is good evening for me. It is good morning for you guys. And, it's about to be in 33 minutes. It'll be Thursday for me.
Wow. She's going to the future. I thought it was cool yesterday, T, that you still got the first question into Vrabel yesterday. That was awesome. I enjoyed that.
Thank you.
We needed that because, you know, he's only in a good mood when he talks to you. So,
but what time? Okay, but that was 11:30 our time.
Right.
So was that 1:30 in the morning your time? Or how did that work? No, yeah, right?
Greg, there's something called technology. I videotaped myself with the question, and then I texted it to somebody. Robbie Bourne over at the Titans helped me continue at least the tradition. I know I'm not going to be there at camp. I'm hoping to be back maybe August 10th. We'll see how jet lag hits me when I fly back on August 8th. But August 8th, is it 9th? I don't even know. The day after the games end, I'm flying home, which will be a week from this upcoming Monday. So, but he helped and, you know, at least played my question. And, you know, what can I say? I've had the pleasure and the honor of, you know, him letting me have the first question for a while now. And I hate to give, I just don't give up anything quick easily. So, and it was a question that needed to be asked.
It was.
Vaccination rate for this team. So, I just, you know, it's like, I may be over here working hard, but I can't let y'all forget me.
Well, and it hooked me. I said, dang, Teresa.
I know.
You're
man,
live. What? It's 1:30 in the morning over there.
I was cooking a late breakfast, and I was like, is that? I was listening on down the dial. They had the whole thing, and I was like, is that Teresa?
Is it live or Memorex?
Yeah. That was really cool.
And of course, the answer, well, you got a non-answer, right, on the vaccination rate for the team.
Well, it wasn't as specific as I would have enjoyed, shall we say. I think we all would have preferred having a specific answer, like, is it 80%? Is it at 95%? And guys, within the last 30 minutes, they put Chris Jones, I think it's Chris Jones, on the reserve COVID list and added another person to the roster. So, you know, for the folks that hadn't gotten vaccinated, guess what? The Titans, who had the first outbreak in the NFL season last year, which affected the scheduling of three different games. I think three affected the pushback, the Steelers game, or moved up the Steelers game, pushed back the, anyway. It was a whole lot of reworking of the schedule last year. I can't figure out what time it is right now, what day it is. How can I go back that much? Anyway, so that's the thing. That's the one question we all kind of want to know, you know, because NFL lost an awful lot of money last year, right? Now, they're making a lot of money, but, you know, without people in the stands, that was a big, big hit. They are counting on having fans back in the building this season. And the way that they can do that and the way that they can avoid messing up a schedule that is supposed to finish February 13th in L.A. with the Super Bowl, why? Is make sure that teams are as vaccinated against COVID as possible. And they've made it clear, if you don't have enough people to play, or if you're having a breakout and cannot play, you're going to forfeit. And for people who, you know, in the NFL who forgot, you know, the rules are the same as last year. If you have a game that's forfeited, doesn't matter if you've got you're all healthy and you could have played. If there's no game that you were supposed to play in, you lose a game check. The team that's having the outbreak and the team that's healthy. So there's tons of incentive aside from the fact of being able to, you know, go to lunch with your teammates and have something, you know, akin to normalcy. I don't know what it's going to take to get people to get vaccinated, but, you know, this is something, somebody messaged me, is like, well, I hope this isn't a running question every day. And it's like, Well, it hadn't really gone away from last year, so what were you thinking?
Well, and they're going to be segregated inside, but outside everything's normal when they're all outside on the field. But the everything inside, which is most of the stuff they do, is going to be segregated, non and vac.
And I found out coming in this morning, Lamar Jackson not on the field for the Baltimore Ravens this morning. T, I don't know if you saw that or not. He's dealing with a COVID issue, and he had COVID last November.
Well, that's the thing. And I'm just seeing a tweet from somebody that John Robinson talking to the media this morning. Some new protocols came into play last night. Titans are 90% vaccinated, so that's a pretty good number if I'm the Titans there. So, and I'm seeing the picture that she tweeted out, the new person at Fox 17, Jill Jelinek, and it's like, that's a wider gap than the mixed zone at the Olympics. I'll just say this. When I come back, my Cephaly stick will work just as well there as it does here. So that's a good number for the Titans. But the fact that they already have somebody on COVID, that's just an indication of what's going on in the league. You know, we see the numbers rising across this state, across a lot of southern states. And if you think that you're not going to get it, you know, this is why they've been pushing you to get vaccinated, not just the NFL, but everybody that I've been talking to the last few months.
Teresa Walker, at Teresa M. Walker on Twitter, if you want to follow her. She's, are you, what, Saitama? Is that where you are, just outside Tokyo? Is that what it is, where you are?
Yes, yeah, so you'd probably say it more accurately than me. I've been calling it Saitama.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter.
You know, nah,
whatever.
Got to put that little southern twang on it there, T.
Potato, potato, whatever. Tomato,
I dare
tomato.
Say, I'm out here Saitama.
Yeah, well, and then I'm going to go to St. Thomas later.
That's right.
You know, after France beat Team USA the other night, the fighting Ayatollahs of Iran had no chance whatsoever. I guess that started at our time, 12:40 this morning, but I guess they won like 150. I don't even know what the score was. But, that sort of was a wake-up call, I guess, for Team USA on the men's side.
Well, it was, but, you know, that's the thing. You know, people are thinking, well, they've had a few days. They had the camp in Vegas. Why weren't they playing better? Well, they had three pieces that were still busy in the NBA Finals, and one of the guys who got a start against Iran, Drew Holiday, which, you know, the play that he had in the playoffs, particularly in the finals, guy just continued it here. And Greg Popovich said that, you know, it's pretty obvious he needs to be on the floor for the starting – for the start of the game, and, you know, he just brings an awful lot of energy to this team. But, you know, Dame Lillard talked about how, you know, after that loss, you know, that maybe guys were playing a little tentative. They didn't want to seem like they were being selfish, but, you know, to play basketball, when you've got a shot, you've got to take it. And he didn't take one against France and, you know, ended up kind of slipping and losing the ball, and France goes down and makes the go-ahead three. So it's more like playing the way they can, and they did that against Iran. I mean, it was fun ball to watch. They're running up down the court. They're knocking down threes. You know, they shot, I think, like 62%. And, you know, almost every three, it felt like almost every three they threw up went in. They're dunking the ball. They look like Team USA today. Now, against Iran, they should.
Right.
Their final game, I believe, is against the Czech Republic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think is the third game in pool play.
You are correct.
So the good thing is that their big, big win today helps make up for the fact that they still have a loss to France. They're going to still have to go out there and win. But they look like the team that, you know, we thought would have a chance to come out and win the gold medal in these games. Now we'll see if they can keep this up.
120-66 was the final.
150, whatever.
Yeah.
The women.
We strive to be accurate.
Against Jamaica. I don't. Against Jamaica, the closest, I think the only single digit victory, the closest that any team has come to them in what, like 17, like 2004, something like that. So the world's catching up because all of these other teams have players, especially on the women's side, who play college ball in the U.S., who play in the WNBA.
Yeah, same for the men, too. Yeah. I mean, you know.
But I think more so
Luka
for the women,
48
though.
The other night for Slovenia or
but
whatever.
But, you know, but the women are the favorite, obviously, but the world's catching up to them, too.
Well, think about this. You know, not only do they play in college together here in the States, so many of them, or in the WNBA, but all these leagues around Europe. You know, when they're not playing in the WNBA, they're playing either in Italy or Russia or, you know, Turkish league, you name it. You know, so, you know, the awe factor is totally gone here, right? And yes, it was the Nigeria. Ruthie Bolton, who, Women's Basketball Hall of Famer, two-time gold medalist, she's an assistant on that team. Her credential hadn't been approved for her to be on the sideline yet. I keep touching base with her to see if that will be it. They play again on Friday, but, the tightest, closest margin of victory for the U.S. since the semifinals of 2004 in Athens when they beat Russia by 4 points. So, yeah, that was tight, but that's the thing. It's, they've got a streak of, they've won since 1996. They're going for their seventh straight gold medal. But the rest of the world is catching up. Nigeria is just, there's a whole bunch of players on that roster. Serbia, they won bronze in Rio. They have nothing to, they think, why can't we get more than that this year? So this is, when you talk to all these coaches, it's not just the United States, Dawn Staley and her people saying this. Everybody's saying it. This is a wide open tournament. Australia lost. You had a team coming in for the first time in Belgium, and they knock off a team. And, yes, there's no Liz Cambage for Australia, but they knock them off. So, this is a fun tournament. Maybe not if you're an American looking for 40-point wins all the time, but, guess what? Basketball, the rest of the world's been playing it, and they're doing their best to catch up as fast as possible.
T, obviously the Simone Biles story is the biggest story so far in the Olympics. What's your take on it? My take is, I deal with mental health issues in my family, in my immediate family, and, where I come out is it's no joke. And I know a lot of people are saying, oh, she quit, she's not tough enough, she's this, she's that. It's a real thing, man. And, gymnastics is very dangerous. If your head's not in the game, you could get seriously injured or worse.
Well, and add to this that, she's been a very public face in the, helping publicize what, Larry Nassar did to so many of these U.S. gymnasts.
Yep.
Simone included, in sexual abusing these athletes. And then you mix in the fact that what they do, think about what they're doing. Oh, they're pretty little girls, with their glitter and stuff. No! They're doing things on a piece of wood up in the air where if they fall, they can seriously hurt themselves.
Yep.
I was reading up about the phenomenon today. Gymnasts call it the twisties. You get flying up through the air, and Simone Biles has made it look so easy. That's why, so many people were so stunned with what happened, because she's made it look like she's pushed this beyond the envelope. They don't even know how to score her because she's doing things that they didn't think women gymnasts could do, and yet she gets up in the air, and think about this. You're spinning through the air with the greatest of ease, or you think you do, and then suddenly you're not coming out just the right way. Humans can't turn their brains off all the time, right?
Yep.
And this is a person who has been in the spotlight. Yes, she's embraced it, and she has done, she has tried to represent as best humanly possible. It's been amazing to watch this young woman do things that she's done. But, you're flying through the air, and let's not think, all those pads, guess what? She comes down the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there can be a very serious injury. It's not all pads and everything. You come down, you hit on the back of your neck after flying through the air. It is, very at risk of very serious injury. And, here's the thing. We've been in a pandemic for the last year plus. Everybody's been dealing with issues. Some have dealt, like me, with alcohol and food and ice cream. Others, have gotten, hopefully, help. But, we've all been through some stuff. And when you're in the Klieg lights, like a Simone Biles has, here's the thing. Good for her for speaking up. And let's not forget, I know some people are saying she quit. She did what she believed was best for her teammates to not be a detriment to them. And they still managed to win silver. So, she was trying to be her best teammate in that moment.
What's your day like? Or I guess you're getting ready to go to bed. I don't know. What's your sleep well?
What's your day like? Her day's just about over.
That's a goofy question. What's Thursday, are you getting any?
Thursday, yeah. go ahead.
You know, I was just saying, I mean, are you still getting any, do you get any, you know, if I think Tokyo, I think food. I'm sorry. You know.
You're always thinking food, Greg.
Yeah, but.
Let's not talk about that, okay?
Okay.
Let's not talk about it. We're in quarantine, guys, and we're limited to what's in our hotel. Thankfully, there's a Lawson convenience store, which I found out that, you know, the late Anthony Bourdain raved about their egg salad sandwich at the Lawson convenience store. I really, really like those. But, you know, all this wonderful food, unless I can get Uber Eats to deliver it, I'm out of pocket here. So, you know, the venue, we can eat there, but rice balls, frozen hot dogs heated up in the microwave. Ugh. You know, we've gotten Uber Eats to deliver to our, you know, to the closest security point the last 2 days, 3 days, whatever. So, yeah, maybe when I get clear 14 days, I can maybe get something better. But when you're working 12 to 14-hour days, it's just kind of tough to – we're not over here able to go hit up the restaurant, shall we say.
Mm. Well, there's a restaurant here called Tokyo House. We'll take you when you get back. Okay?
That's right. Yeah.
That sounds good.
Lunch is on us, G, when you get back. All right.
Thanks, Teresa.
I'll be very hungry.
Night, 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 night,
sleep
Teresa.
Well, T. Thank you for joining us.
All right, night.
See you, Teresa. 11:40, almost midnight.